All right, girls, good morning. Let's begin. So we are continuing in Emirat Hashem in the Laila. We focused over the last couple of days, or last couple of classes, on focusing on the concept of Ve'emunascha Balelos, and the notion of Emunah. So we've seen already a couple of different sources and a couple of different approaches. We saw Rashi's interpretation, again, as we mentioned before, that the entire capital of this entire Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is actually a reference to the Yom Shekula Shabbos, a reference to the Messianic era. But then we saw other explanations. Our last class, we focused a lot on the Mari Yecheskel in source number 6, where the Mari Yecheskel explained that, in fact, this capital, this particular phrase, is not a reference to the Messianic era, but instead, ultimately, again, it's a reference to life itself, a reference to the idea, Lahagid Baboker Chastecha, referring to those times in life where the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam is apparent, the emunas chabalelos. But Laila ultimately referring to the difficult, challenging moments in life. Well, how do you deal with the difficult and challenging moments in life? A recognition or an understanding that hopefully the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam is still manifest even during difficult times in life. The emunas chabalelos, even if I can't see the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam, some way, somehow, I still believe it to be present. So to continue on the theme of developing... What is that? No. It's unplugged. It's unplugged already. Must be sorry. Maybe it's the heat. Okay. In any event, so just to continue a little bit on this theme of Emunah, take a look at number 7. So from the Sefer Be'er HaParsha and Parshas Acharei Mos, he writes something truly beautiful. He writes over here, Umin Haroi Lahasmich as Divrei Harav HaKadosh Rabbi Shlomi Chartkov. Quotes over here from the Chartkov Rebbe, who says as follows, Shiksha, Madua b'matan Torah, matzinu shehigvila kadosh baruch hu es Yisrael lefi kiddushasam. So he quotes a very interesting dynamic. He explains that by matan Torah, so Klal Yisrael was arranged in accordance with different levels. For example, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to the top of the mountain. Below Moshe Rabbeinu was who? But was Yoshua, was Aaron, and then ultimately again the rest of the people arranged at the base of the mountain. Even by the base, there were different levels, people arranged in different ways. But at the end of the day, he notes again that by Har Sinai, by Matan Torah, people were admitted or people were allowed access in accordance with their standing and in accordance with their station. He goes on, he says, Kimo Sha'amru Chazal, Sha'amad Moshe b'mechitza li'atzmo, va'ara b'mechitza li'atzmo, va'achareyim hazekenim. V'rak achar kach kol Yisrael. See here again, he quotes over here the Mechilta. Moshe Rabbeinu stood in his own mechitza, in his own area. Aaron in his own area. The Zekenim stood in their area. And afterwards, all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that's by Matan Torah. We're all familiar with that. But he makes an amazing contrast. V'ilo b'kriyas yam suf omru, Ra'as ha'shivcha alayam, mashalo ra'a yecheskel ben buziya kohen b'nevua. So yet, interestingly enough, something happens by Kriyas Yamsuf. By Kriyas Yamsuf, everyone was able to see the Ribono Shel Olam. Right? Ra'as shivcha alayam. Shivcha alayam is a reference to who? What does shivcha alayam really represent? Right, even just the most regular people, the most regular, ordinary people saw a hashra'as hashchina, saw some type of manifestation of the Ribono Shel Olam. So now you see where he's going with this. Chadkav Rebbe explains the contrast. Why is it that by Matan Torah, there's Hagbala, right? By Matan Torah, everyone has their place, everyone has their station, everyone has their makom. Yet, amazingly enough, when it comes to Kriyas Yam Suf, everyone sees the Ribono Shel Olam. Even the most regular, ordinary of people sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the pshat? He goes on, he says, V'lonis ba'er shum shinui b'gili ha'shchina. Mashma shekulam hayu shavim l'tova, barosam zeki livan ve'u. So it's actually a very dramatic contrast. By Kabbalah Satorah, different people saw different things, and different people perceived different things. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu's Kabbalah Satorah is different than Aaron, is different than Yoshua, is different than the Zekinim, is different than the regular Klal Yisrael. And yet by Kriyas Yam Suf, it appears that everyone perceived and experienced the same exact thing. Everyone said Zekili Va'anveyu. Everyone saw and perceived the Ribono Shel Olam in the same way. So turn the page, he explains, Umevar, Haginze Yisrael, So the question is why? The question is why is there a different experience by Matan Torah than there is by Harsin? I'm sorry, than there is by Kriyas Yamsuf. And he says so beautifully, Mabar begins in Yisrael, Ki Kabbalas HaTorah Achin Enena Shava B'chol B'nei Yisrael. Ela, Kol Echad Lefi Arko Kach Yikabel. Kefi Achanosa LeKabbalas HaTorah Kach Hi Tagia Elov. V'Yalkein, Hayukama Madregos Umechitzos B'Matan Torah. This is incredible. Does everyone have the same Kabbalas HaTorah? Does everyone have the same Kabbalas HaTorah? What would you say? No, why not? Why doesn't, think about it, she says in your own, does everybody have the same relationship with Torah? Does every single person have the same relationship with Torah? Absolutely not. Again, think about this just a moment. You have some people, and this is very important, some people who could learn, some people who aren't so good at learning. Right? Some people, again, who are intellectually advanced and astute, and some people who take a longer time to process and understand. Not everyone has the same relationship with Torah. This is an incredibly important idea. And this is important for a variety of levels, which is, this is why Shlomo HaMelech espouses the concept of Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko. The notion that education has to be tailored for every person individually, because people learn. I don't know if anyone here, is anyone here studying education? No? No one's going into Chinuch?
They're all teaching right now.
I'm sorry?
Are teaching right now,
got it. So, okay, so maybe if you've ever taken a course in education, there is a fascinating concept called multiple intelligences, which the truth is not just a din in teaching, it's actually a din in understanding people. Different people learn in different ways, right? So multiple, there's a kinesthetic learner. There are people learn in different ways, which now modern education, Baruch Hashem, incorporates this concept. You see this especially with younger children. Some people learn by frontal teaching. Some people learn by being engaged. Some people learn through activities. People learn in a variety of different ways. So Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko means that at the end of the day, every single person relates to Torah and relates to learning in a different way. So the chart cover explains something amazing. This is why by Kabbalas HaTorah, different people were on different levels, right? Moshe had an experience that Aaron could not have. And Aaron had an experience that the Zekinim could not have. And the Zekinim had an experience that the rest of Klal Yisrael could not have. Everyone perceives Torah in a different way. But watch this. This is incredible. And therefore, again, that's manifest in the fact that different people accessed Har Sinai on different levels. Interestingly enough, Masha'en came b'kriyas Yamsuf, Sham kanu b'nei Yisrael es ha'amuna, this is incredible, and I think this is just a fascinating idea. What's the difference between Kriyas Yamsuf and Kabbalas HaTorah? I know that sounds like a strange question, but from a theological or from a religious perspective, wherein lies the fundamental difference between Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah? So the chart cover Rebbe posits, and it's an incredibly profound idea, Matan Torah is easier. What was the point of Matan Torah? Get the Torah, right? Very simple idea, right? Remember again, the Torah is our life. The Torah is not just a book of laws, but the Torah is the entire code of successful living. Everything you need, ultimately, again, to be a successful individual, to be a successful Jew, to be a successful human being. So Kabbalas HaTorah was to convey to us Torah and all of its concepts. What was the point of Kriyas Yamsuf? What was the point of it? What would you say? What did we gain? Now, of course, there's utilitarian purpose, Kriyas Yamsuf. The utilitarian purpose was? I'm sorry? Right. In other words, the utilitarian purpose was we were in trouble, and really it was the end, it was the decimation of the Egyptians. Right? Essentially, if you think about it to a certain degree, Kriyas Yamsuf was kind of like the 11th Makkah. It's kind of like the 11th Makkah. In other words, the Makkahs were there to weaken the Egyptians, to weaken their resolve, to weaken their will, ultimately to also punish them for the horrors they visited upon Klal Yisrael. And Kriyas Yamsuf was like the end. It was the end of Mitzrayim. But the chart cover says, that's fine. That's what Kriyas Yamsuf was to the Egyptians. But what was Kriyas Yamsuf really for Klal Yisrael? What did it accomplish for us? It created, excellent, it created our Emuna Bashem. Because this is actually quite fascinating. Remember, did the Makos engender or create Emuna? What would you say? Good. Why yes? Short Ashkach Shem. Did it work? What's the clear proof that the Makos did not engender Emuna? Excellent. 4/5 died in Choshech. So remember again, by the time we're rolling around to Makkah number 9, 4/5 of the Jews, right? The Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Eretz Mitzrayim. Rashi says, only 1/5 of Klal Yisrael left Egypt. 4/5 did not leave. Why not? Because at the end of the day, they didn't want to, they didn't believe. So obviously, the Makos did not instill a sense of Emunah in Klal Yisrael, at least in 4/5 of Klal Yisrael. So it explains the Chat Kavrab as something so beautiful, that the entire purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf was to instill that Emunah in the Ribono Shel Olam. That was the tachlis of Kriyas Yamsuf. And by the way, now once you understand that that's the purpose of Kriyas Yamsuf, because think about this. Remember again, Kriyas Yamsuf said that what do you have to be willing to do in life? What do you have to be willing to do? You have to be willing to walk into the raging sea and believe that the Ribono Shel Olam is going to take care of you. And that is why the seed does not split, the Gemara explains, Ad Shekafatz Nachshon Ben Aminadav. Someone had to walk in. And remember, the Gemara Masechet Sota relates that we often think, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, he stuck his pinky toe in, and suddenly again, everything just split. The Medrash relates that Nachshon Ben Aminadav goes up to his neck in water. He says, Elokim Ba'u Mayim Ad Nafesh, I can't go anymore. If I go anymore, I'm going to die. Interestingly enough, that same medrash repeats itself twice. One is by Kriyas Yamsuf. The other time you hear someone saying, Bo'o Mayim Ad Nafesh is when? Anyone know? Yonah does. I don't know if the medrash quotes that Lashon by him, but it's possible. Right? Where else do you see that? But at least in the medrash. Avram Avinu on the way to the Akedah. Right, that remember again, the Medrash relates that the Satan appeared, or the Satan tried to derail Avraham Avinu a variety of different ways. The last way he tries to do it, ultimately again, is by becoming a river of water. And Avraham Avinu goes into the river of water and he says, Elokim ba'o mayim ad nafesh, I can't go anymore. So ultimately again, so the chart cover explains so beautifully that the entire essence of Kriyas Yamsuf was to instill within us a sense of emunah. That I have to be willing to walk into the raging sea and really believe with all of my heart that somehow, some way, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to take care of me. And here he says something absolutely amazing. He says, Sham Masha'en Kim Kriyas Yamsuf, Sham Kanu B'nei Yisrael Esa Emunah B'chai Olamim. By Kriyas Yamsuf, that is where we acquired our emunah in Hashem. Listen to these words. Ube emunah, Ein hevdel bein gadol lekatan bein tzaddik leshivcha. What does that phrase mean? Ube emuna ein hevdel bein gadol lekatan bein tzaddik leshivcha. How would you understand that phrase? Anyone? Yes. Beautiful. You see the contrast between Torah and Emunah. By Torah, not everybody's on the same level. You could have a great Talmud Chacham, and a simple Jew is not on the same level of Torah as a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham might know all of Shas. Talmud Chacham might know all of Poskim. Talmud Chacham might know Bavli, Yerushalmi. And a simple Jew does not know that same Torah. Not everybody is on the same level when it comes to Torah. The chart cover saying when it comes to Emunah, everyone has the ability to climb to the same heights. Everyone has the ability to reach the same exact levels. And says the chart cover, this is not his idea. He says, this is what Rashi means. This is what the Mechilta means. Rashi goes to Mechilta when it says, Zekil Yivandeyu, right? The Shira, this is my God and I will exalt him. So Rashi, quoting the Mechilta, understands that literally by Kriyas Yamsuf, they were able to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ra Shifcha Alayam. The simplest of Jews saw the same thing, or even saw even what was greater than what Yechezkel, the Navi Yechezkel Ben Buzi saw. When it comes to Emunah, everyone has equal access to Emunah. Whether you're a simple Jew, whether you're a Talmud Chacham, whether you're a Tzaddik, whether you're a Pashat, whoever you are, whether you're a Shifcha or you're someone else, everyone has the ability to reach the same levels of Emunah. Now let's take a step back of this just a second. What kind of Emunah is the Chat Cover talking about? What would you say, going back to some of our previous classes, what type of Emunah? emuna pshuta. Right? Because remember, again, as we've seen, there are different levels of emuna. There is an emuna which is informed by Torah. Right? There is an emuna which is informed by knowledge. There's intellectual emuna, and there is emotional emuna. So does everybody have the same level of intellectual emuna? No, not at all. Not at all. Someone who learned Derech Hashem, someone who learned Chovas HaLevavos, someone who learned, it says, there are people, if you learn more, you can have a heightened sense of intellectual emuna. And someone who learns less doesn't have that same emuna. But when it comes to emuna pshuta, when it comes to what we'll call emotional emuna, or emuna rigshi, right, which is an emotional emuna, and a simple emuna in the Ribono Shel Olam, that is not informed by knowledge, and that is not informed by logic, and that is not informed by intellect, everyone has the ability to reach that same level of emuna. Such an incredible idea. And that's why by Kriyas Yamsuf, there were no levels, we'll call it, right? So now you appreciate the contrast. By Kabbalah HaTorah, there were levels. There was Moshe, there was Yoshua, there was Aaron, there was the Zekinim, there was Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu was broadcasting a message. Not everyone has equal access to Torah. Everyone has equal access. Not everyone experiences the same growth in Torah. Different people learn different ways, learn different amounts, absorb knowledge in variety of different mediums. Not everyone relates to Torah the same way. But when it comes to Emunah, everyone has the ability to become a ma'amin. That is independent of your intellectual prowess, that is independent of your intellectual abilities. When it comes to Emunah Pshuta, everyone has the ability to climb to the highest levels. So he goes on, he finishes up this piece, he says, Sham kanu b'nei Yisrael, Emuna okil shono, kigam ha'adam hayosir katan. So this is a quote from the Chakrav, it's so beautiful. Kigam ha'adam hayosir katan b'chachamo b'svuna. Even a person who is small, so to speak, in chachma and svuna, in again, wisdom and understanding, emrak ya'amin be'emuna pshuta gidola, as yosig kimo ha'adam ha'gadol lolo hevdol. This is incredible. So these words are exceptionally profound. Let's look at them again. Even a person who is small in wisdom and understanding, so even a person who is not so accomplished intellectually, if he believes in rak yamin be'emuna pshuta gidola, if he believes with a simple emuna, a great yet simple emuna, As Yasik means what? Means what? He can understand the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kimo HaAdam HaGadol, like the greatest person, Lelo Hevdol, without any distinctions. V'hainu, Sha'al Yidei HaEmuna, Yasik HaKatan, Ke'asagas HaGadol. And therefore, again, through Emuna Pshuta, the simplest of Jews could become as great as the greatest of Jews. Now, let's analyze this for just a little bit. What's the tachlis of Torah? Right? When we speak about learning, what's the tachlis of Torah? What would you say? No. Yes. But other people besides SD are allowed to speak. I just want to throw that out to the class. Yes, go ahead. Good. So on a most basic level, Torah teaches me how to live. I have to know the Ratzon HaBorei. Good. Excellent. Right? I can't be expected to be a good Jew unless, of course, I know what the expectations of a good Jew actually are. Excellent. Good. What else? To come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the last part? To learn Torah. Right? So let me build on this just a little bit. It's not just to come closer, but it's to know the Ribono Shel Olam. Remember again, there is this great anomaly in our relationship with Hashem. Because the Ribono Shel Olam is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Right? Meaning the Ribono Shel Olam is HaYehoveh V'yeh, omnipresent. He's all the time. He's all-knowing, omniscient, and he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And yet, again, he's also unknown, ambiguous, amorphous, and intangible. So there is this great anomaly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, yet If you ask me what he is, if you ask me what he is, at the end of the day, I have difficulty articulating, which is why Chazal tell us that in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes. We know what Hashem is, but we know what He isn't. What, like what? What He isn't. So what isn't He? Well, I guess you could say what it's like. He's not this, right? He's not this, but yet he's not a physical form. I guess that. I'm sorry. Say that again. Oh, so this is what I was just going to get to in just a moment. By the way, just on that topic of we don't know what Hashem is, but we know what He isn't. I just want to I hear that. Although I think that's interesting also. Like you could say the Ribono Shel Olam is not the Shtender. That's true, but yet is the Ribono Shel Olam intertwined with the Shtender? He is, right? Because remember, again, nothing exists in this world without the Ribono Shel Olam, which means that the Ribono Shel Olam somehow in his essence is intertwined with everything. So is there something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not? I don't know, it's interesting. I never heard that formulation before. I would also just tell you, in general, I always say, it's never good to define things by what they're not. Just like it's never good to define, you know, sometimes do people do this also, like even in terms of formulating their own personal hashkafas. I'm not this. That's fine, but more importantly than what you're not, who are you or what are you? But again, but I hear that. But going back to what was just mentioned, interestingly enough, when Chazal teaches us, when the Torah says, V'halachta b'drachav, right? You're supposed to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara is already bothered by this. What does that mean? How can you walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Like we just said before, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. So how could I walk in His ways? So that's why, again, Chazal understand divine emulation. Mahu rachum, afata rachum. Mahu malbisharumim, afata malbisharumim. Mahu mevakecholim, afata mevakecholim. So there's divine emulation. Yes?
I feel like what we have to know for our life, that's what we know about Hashem, but there's for sure way more
about
Hashem.
By the way, excellent, excellent point. Let's talk about this just a moment, then I'm going to get back to this topic, because that's not a tangent, it's actually an incredibly important point. We know what we need to know. This is one of the most important things. Sometimes, let me give you by way of example. Does Judaism believe in philosophy? Does Judaism place a value on philosophy? Again, I'll give you a hint. Either way, you're right. Right? Well, think about this. Do we have major Jewish philosophical works?
Yeah.
Of course we have, right? Mor Nevuchim, right? We have plenty of Jewish philosophical works, but it's very interesting. Jewish philosophy was not around from the beginning for one simple reason. Judaism is an actional religion. We are all about doing. Philosophy is very profound. But very often, what does philosophy yield? Right? So philosophy usually creates philosophers who then in turn philosophize more, who create more philosophy, and then create more philosophers, right? And again, so it's fascinating. It's incredible. And like the Rambam engaged in philosophy because he felt other religions were engaging in philosophy and Jews would be drawn to those other philosophical streams. So Judaism needs its own body of Jewish philosophy as well. But it's an incredible thing that ultimately, again, if you look at Yiddishkeit at its core, it doesn't really place that much of an emphasis on philosophical development. Because almost to a certain degree, we know what we need to know in order to be successful. Do I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do any of us really understand Hashem? No. So what does that tell you? That I don't need to. It would be interesting. I would love to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who wouldn't want to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who wouldn't want to understand how the Ribono Shel Olam runs his world and why certain things happen? But obviously, if I don't have that knowledge, that means I don't need it in order to accomplish my mission in this world. I am here for a purpose. I'm here to accomplish something. So at the end of the day, anything I need, any tools I need to accomplish a mission, I have. And anything I don't have, then by definition, I don't need. Which tells me that a real comprehensive understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam is not necessary for me to accomplish my mission. Now, does it mean that I shouldn't strive to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Of course I should. Of course I should, to the best of my abilities. But I must also accept that I will never fully comprehend. Hence we come full circle to Emunah. To Emunah. Right, think about it. Was there a think about this in just a moment. If you were a Jew standing at the Yam Suf, right? Incredible. You saw Ra, Shiv, Chalim, you saw, you're left with one simple question. What's the one question you had? Well, think about it just a moment. Right? You're standing there, you saw everything amazing. What's the one question you walk away with? I'm sorry? Okay, see, interesting, like, now what? Now what? Good. Which is why, by the way, amazing enough, what happens right after Kriyas Yam Suf? What's the next episode after Kriyas Yam Suf? It's a Chumash question. Mara. Where ultimately Klal Yisrael comes, because it's an excellent point, that Emunah is powerful when you have something to plug it into. Right, but when there's not necessarily a comprehensive framework to plug it into, sometimes it's just poreach ba'abir. Good. But if you're at Kriyas, I don't know, if I was at Kriyas Yam Suf, maybe I'm a little bit more sarcastic than the rest of you. So I would think to myself, why all the buildup? Right? Remember the story leading up to Kriyas Yam Suf? What does Klal Yisrael do in the moments before the Yam Suf splits? What do they do? Right? They turn on Moshe. And they turn on the Ribono Shel Olam, effectively. Right? Lama ha'elison ha'meretzayim lamuspa midbar. Eim kvar ha'meretz yitzayim, they turn. Okay, it's great. Then the Yom Tov splits, az yashem Moshe b'nei Yisrael, zekidim, incredible. If I'm there, I'm thinking to myself, you could have saved me so much admas nefesh. Why couldn't you just split the sea 3 hours earlier? It's like, this I know I'm coming, I'm walking in, the sea is split, there's no anxiety, there's no angst, I don't have to worry about the pursuing Egyptians, and again, you would have made my life so much easier. So why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Why didn't he do that? Right, because first of all, remember, Emunah requires effort. Emunah doesn't just appear. You needed a Nachshon Ben Aminadav to walk into a raging sea. You had to believe that ultimately, again, if you walk through it, that the water was going to stay up in its walled form for long enough for you to get through there. The holy yisod of Kriyas Yam Suf ultimately was Emunah, but Emunah is not without its questions. I'll tell you something fascinating. The Torah relates in Parshas Vayigash. After Yosef reveals his identity to his brothers, so right, and Yosef, the brothers come back, they tell Yaakov, Yosef is alive, he's the viceroy, and they all come down to Egypt. So the Torah relates something amazing. The Torah says that Yaakov Avinu, on his way down to Egypt, says, Vayizbach, I think the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Vayizbach Zvachim Lelokei Aviv Yitzchak, or Lekei Yitzchak Aviv. He offered up karbonos to the God, the Father of Yitzchak. Which is interesting, right? Why the God, the Father of Yitzchak? Why not just say he offered up Karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or if you're going to start naming Avos, make it ultimately again Yitzchak in Avram. Why Yitzchak? And the Sfarim bring down something amazing. What was Yitzchak's Midah? Right? Gvura. Gvura means what? On the most basic level. Okay, Kamisa, all it says, Gvura is Din. Right, Gvura is din, Midas Hadin. Yitzchak Avinu is Midas Hadin. So the Sfarim bring down something amazing. That when Yaakov Avinu is on his way down to Mitzrayim, he offers up Karbanos and he says, Hashem, thank you so much. But I have one question. Why did you do this? Remember again, Yaakov Avinu lost how many years of his life? How many years? Anyone? Wait, the whole episode with Yosef. How many years of his life did he lose? Over 2 decades. What did Yaakov Avinu do for 2 decades? What did he do? He sat Shiva for his son for 2 decades. He wasted 2 decades of his life because he thought his son was dead. And he was unable to move on. Now, after the fact, he realized, why was he unable to move on? because Yosef was alive. Right? This is the whole anomaly of the whole Yaakov Avinu story. Right? There's a concept of hames mishtachach min alev, which means the living forget the dead, which is not literal. Anyone who's ever encountered loss knows you never forget your loved ones who die. But in the moments after loss, so the loss sits on the frontal lobe. But then over time, it gets pushed back a little bit into the subconscious so that it's not the primary thing I think about all of the time. Yaakov Avinu is unable to move on. For 21 years, he does absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing but sit in his home with the shades drawn, sitting 21 years of Shiva. Now, after the fact, he realizes, I wasn't able to move on because my son Yosef was still alive. 21 years of inactivity. 21 years just gone by. 21 years with nothing, with Yaakov Avinu really being in a state of Shiva for 21 years. So as he's going down to Mitzrayim, the Sfarim bring down, he offers up a karban to the God of Midas Hadin. And he says, I'm so happy the story ended well. I'm so happy that Yosef is alive. But why did you do this? Why? Why was this necessary? Because emuna, this is incredibly important. Emuna doesn't take away your questions. But what emuna gives you is the ability to live with questions. Everyone has questions, right? Who amongst us doesn't have questions, right? Sometimes we have little questions, sometimes we have big questions. Sometimes something happens in life and I'm like, why did it have to go that way? But it's a little bit more minor. And still things, dramatic things happen in life and I wonder, why did this have to unfold like this? So this is very important. Emuna doesn't take away your questions. The questions of life are the questions of life. What Emuna does is, I'm able to live with the questions because I accept the fact that I know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu what I need to know and there's a ton of stuff I don't know and that's okay. That's okay. Emuna gives me the strength to live with my questions and to continue forward in life. There were questions by Yamsuf, but Emuna gives me the ability to walk through the water and to continue forward on in life. Yaakov Avinu, an incredible Baal Emuna, ultimately again has dramatic questions. Why did you do this? Right? If you're Yaakov Avinu, isn't it a legitimate question to say, why? Why? I thought my son was murdered. I thought my son was torn apart into a million pieces by a wild beast. I was deceived. Whether or not, you know, Yaakov Avinu ever knew what the Shvatim, what the brothers did or not, there's a big machlokis, a mefarshim. Did he ever know what actually happened to Yosef or not? You know, right? And some say he did know, some say he didn't know, some say he didn't want to know. But lamaisigan, either way, why? Why? Emuna doesn't take away your questions, but Emuna gives you the strength to live and to move forward with your questions. Now, circling all the way back, so the chart cover is coming along and saying something absolutely amazing. When it comes to Emuna, but Emuna Pshuta, and this is incredibly important, and that's why I just want to point out, this notion of Emuna Pshuta is a big thing in Chassidus. That's why you often find it quoted by the Sfarim and by the great Rebbes of yesteryear. Right? The Baal Shem, this was the ikar of the Baal Shem Tov's Hashkafa. That the Baal Shem Tov believed that the simplest of Jews has the ability to rise to the greatest heights. Now, I just want to point out, why did the Baal Shem Tov come up with this movement of Chassidus, right? Not that he started with the intention to make a movement, but he started with the intention to create an ideology. Why did Baal Shem Tov feel that his ideology was necessary? What did he see happening around him? A little bit of Jewish history here. So remember again, before the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, if you were able to learn, you were a Talmud Chacham, then what? Then you were significant. But at the end of the day, if you couldn't learn, and by the way, couldn't is a relative term. Some people couldn't because not everybody has the intellectual tools to become a Talmud Chacham. And even somebody who did have an intellectual tool, what about a person who didn't have the luxury? He had to go to work or whatever else. So the Baal Shem Tov saw that there are these whole cadres, these whole cohorts of simple Jews that are being marginalized. Not intentionally, just de facto marginalized. And Baal Shem Tov said, even if you don't have either the abilities or the opportunities to learn, you could maximize your personalistic greatness through emuna. And that's what the Chacham is saying. You could become as great as the greatest tzaddik. Maybe not in his learning. Maybe not in his learning. But you could become as great as the greatest tzaddik in your emunah if you possess true emunah pshuta. And kishmo keinu. Emunah pshuta doesn't need the intellect. Actually, emunah pshuta actually rejects the intellect. Because the intellect does a whole variety of different things. The emunah pshuta simply says, Ribono shel Olam, I love you. I know you love me. You created the world. You choreograph everything. Mi'itcha hakol l'tova, kacha Hashem rotze, and that's how I live my life. Am I filled with incredible questions? Absolutely. So many questions. But my emunah in you allows me to move forward with all of my questions and recognizing that I may never get answers to those questions. But at the end of the day, my emunah pshuta allows me to go ahead and move forward. And therefore, says the chart cover, hence the distinction between Kabbalah Satorah and Kriyas Yamsuf. Kabbalah Satorah, not everyone has the same relationship to Torah. This is incredibly important. You know, not everybody has the same relationship to Torah. You know, I'll just tell you, when it comes to Emunah, Kriyas Yamsuf, Zekil Yivan, everyone goes ahead and experiences or has the ability to reach the same levels of Emunah. I'll share with you one last piece, just to kind of, which now as we're talking about this, I think relates. There's a fascinating halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Yeradeh writes that if a mother cannot nurse her child, so, you know, before the days of synthetic formula, so if a mother couldn't nurse her child for whatever the reason, you would hire a wet nurse, right? You would hire someone else to nurse your child. So interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch says that if a Jewish mother can't nurse her own child, she should try to really hire another Jewish woman to nurse her baby. She shouldn't hire a non-Jewish woman to nurse her baby. Okay? Where does this halacha come from? Take a wild guess. Where does this halacha come from? Excellent. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, because after all, again, bright, remember again, Bas Yafai is Moshe Rabbeinu. He tries to give him to an Egyptian wet nurse, he won't nurse, and ultimately he ends up nursing from his own mother, from Yochaved. So therefore the halacha says, just like Moshe Rabbeinu would only nurse from a Jewish mother, or Jewish woman, so too again, try to have a Jewish nurse. So the Satna Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Livracha asks the question, he says, what are you talking about? That was Moshe Rabbeinu. You're going to bring a raya in halacha from Moshe Rabbeinu? Gemara says, why wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu nurse from a non-Jewish woman? Because Pesha Asala Darabashina, the mouth that was going to speak with Ribbono Shel Olam, could only nurse from a Jew. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet the Shulchan Aruch is bringing this down halacha lemaisa for all of us based on Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Satmar Rabbi says something amazing. He says, Elamai, you begin to see, he actually phrases this in terms of chinuch. And he says, when you're mechanech a child, you have to treat every child like they have the ability or they have the potential to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So it always intrigued me. What does that mean? Every child has the ability to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kam b'Yisrael ki Moshe od. The Pasuk says, in Mefurash Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu is a once in a universe type of personality. So perhaps what it's saying is, legabe emuna. You're right, not legabe Torah, because remember again, you can't be like Moshe Rabbeinu for Torah. You can't. You cannot be like Moshe Rabbeinu for Torah for one simple reason. Pa'al pa'al da'ber bo. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah directly from the source, directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So no matter how great of a Talmud Chacham a person may become, your Torah can never be like Moshe's. But what? So how can you be like Moshe? So perhaps I could be like Moshe in Emunah. In Emunah. That when it comes to Emunah, and when it comes to Emunah Pshuta, anyone could even be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So when the halacha says that we treat every child with the potential to be like a Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps it's not legabe Torah, but it's legabe Emunah. And what an incredibly powerful yisod. With Torah, we're not all created equal. But when it comes to Emunah Pshuta, not Emunah of the intellect, but Emunah of the heart, Emunah of emotion, we all have the ability to climb to the greatest heights. We all have the ability to accomplish as much as Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? We'll stop over here. We're going to spend one more class Wednesday in Emirat Hashem, focusing on one last approach of the Torah Samagid and the Ma'or Einayim, and then Emirat Hashem will tie it back to Perek Shiva.